Hi, I'm Ryan. I'm an addict.
Hi, Ryan.
I'd like to take a minute to invite a God of my understanding in here to help guide me to share a clear and confusing message to you. God, grant us serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom for others. Oh, wow, no podium or soapbox or nothing, huh? So, tell you a little bit about myself. My clean date is October 13, 2009. I live in a little small town, Avamore. I grew up there. There was no divorce or anything in my family growing up. I didn't have no traumatic, like, effects, you know what I mean? I had a loving family, a real tight-knit family. My parents both worked hard to give me the best life they could, you know, like they treated me real well. There was no divorce, you know, nothing like that. I'm 35 years old. I'm a steel worker, and I'm going to try to share the best message I can with you. I'm not going to share a lot about you, and like everybody else, it started with a joint and ended with a needle in my arm. And I knew I was an addict, you know, through step work now, way before I picked up a drug. I can remember being in school when I never felt like I fit in. I always felt like my parents favored my sister, so I acted out to get attention. I always felt like I didn't fit in, man. I got good grades. I played sports, but I never fit in with the smart kids. You know what I mean? And athletes, like, they didn't want to hang out with me. And the good kids, but the drug addicts and the bad kids were like, come on in, you know? And, I grew up, I was an overweight, redheaded kid with freckles, and people liked to pick on me and make me feel bad, and I found out real quick if I beat the shit out of them, that I'd get some respect, false respect. So I thought I had these friends going through school, but they were really nice to me because they didn't want me to, you know, be a jerk to them, you know? So, like, my whole childhood was, like, false friendship, man. Like, people really didn't want to be my friend. They just wanted me to leave them alone, you know. I can remember going to the dentist when I was a little kid. I was probably, like, 10 or 11 years old, and I had a real bad tooth, and he gave me this one little pill. And before that, he gave me some, like, Tylenol 3s, and he gave me this one little pill, and he said, here, take this before you come next week, and like, before you get your tooth done. I walked out, and I ate it. And then I said, hey, called him. I said, I threw out that my pants and my mom washed it, you know. So I started manipulating, like, right then, man. I knew the effects of, you know, drugs, and I liked them. They took me out of myself. They made me feel good. I went through high school like anybody else, you know, climbed up the ladder of drugs, you know. Like I said, it started with a joint, it ended with a needle in my arm. I'm not going to get real big on, like, how I used, you know. I used to make my life completely unmanageable. Hurt everybody I came into contact with. I'll tell you some of the lows that, like, my drug abuse took me to. I've OD'd in front of my children, you know what I mean? I've had my daughter was 8 years old when she had to call an ambulance for me and give me mouth-to-mouth when her dad was dying on the floor. But my mom was on hospice, dying. When she took her last dying breath, I was in the bathroom shooting up. And when I was at her funeral, and my dad and my sister were standing at the coffin, I was in the bathroom shooting up. I couldn't get out of that bathroom, man. I went in that bathroom in, like, 2000, and I didn't come out until 2009. I was in there for a long time. Thank God, like, when I decided to get clean, like, back in 2007, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania said, you're getting clean. You know what I mean? They sent me to rehab. They said, you're going to rehab. You know, so I went to rehab. No intentions on staying clean. Sat in the back and made fun of people and tried to hook up with girls and wasn't about nothing. I got out of rehab with, like, 28 days, and I think I made it about 29 and a half days. So that didn't work out real well. I never planned on being clean when I went there. I went there for somebody else, and so when I did decide to really get clean, man, I didn't have, like, any, I had consequences all through my addiction, but the day I got clean, man, I woke up just like any other day. I woke up dope sick. I went in the bathroom. I got it in. I was sitting there, and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I went to my dad and I said, hey man, I got to go to rehab. And he's like, 5 in the morning. He's like, you need to go to rehab now. I said, yeah, if I don't go now, I ain't going to go, man. And I got myself into a facility. And I did everything they told me to do when I was in there. I sat in the front. I didn't hang out with people that I knew was going to get me in trouble. You know what I mean? I wasn't there to make friends. I was there to get clean and stay clean. I've taken like every suggestion for the most part, unless, you know, sometimes I don't until the pain gets great enough still today. But thank God, like I walked into my first meeting and I was scared as hell. And you know, I walked in and the first person that came up and gave me a hug was my sponsor. This is my sponsor now. And but thank God he was at that meeting, man, because that was a big deal to me. I try to always go out of my way and give newcomers hugs. Because, I don't know, that kept me coming to another one. Like, I sat beside my sponsor and another guy, Dave Kay, who died as a direct result of the disease last year. And, I don't know, I've been around for like two and a half years, and I see a lot of people die. I've seen a lot of people come and go, man. And, it all seems like they don't take suggestions, and they're not about anything. For my first few months of recovery, I didn't know if I was about anything or not. So, like, I found somebody that was about something, and I stuck to them like a parasite, man. Like, when I got off work, I went to their house. I tried to leave myself the least possible chance to fail. Like, I had a car and a driver's license. My dad drove me to meetings, man, because my car knows its way to every drug dealer in Westmoreland County. And I don't know if I'd have made it home from the meeting. So I got my dad to take me to meetings. I got my dad to take my money for me because I got a decent job when I had out there. I was able to keep my job from my addiction. And money is a big trigger, man. So my paychecks went right to my dad. And, you know, he gave me enough money just to get smokes, whatever, you know, make sure my bills were paid and stuff like that. Because if I'd had a big pocket full of money, I don't know if I'd be here today. And just like things like that, like the least possible chance. Like today, like my dad still has access to my bank account. Like I'm not better than anything. You know what I mean? Like I ain't got nothing to hide. If my dad wants to look to see what I'm spending or whatever, that's fine. I need all the help I can get. I need to be accountable. You know what I mean? I need somebody to watch my ass because I don't know how to live. I mean, that's why I come to meetings. That's why I try to get involved. I got the sponsor and he asked me, "What are you willing to do for your recovery?" And I told him anything. And I've tried to hold to that. You know, he's asked me to do some things that I didn't want to do. But every suggestion that I've taken from him has so drastically improved my life. Like, you know, I come in here beat up, spiritually broken, resenting everybody, hurting real bad inside. My life was consumed with hate for people I didn't even know from past relationships. Like my ex-wife, like when I came in here, I couldn't stand to talk to my ex-wife for 30 seconds. I want to choke her ass. And my sponsor, you know, through some step work, he's like, "Oh, I see her coming up all the time." He's like, "You need to pray for her." I'm like, "You must be high." And, I'll tell you what, one of the best relationships I have with another human being today is my ex-wife. You know what I mean? And I'm able to be a better parent to my daughter with my ex-wife, and it's all been through step work. And I don't perfect anything. You know, I fall short of spiritual principles and stuff like that. I slack on my step work sometimes. You know, I just finished my 7th step. It seems like they all happen in my life right when I need them. You know, like I have a lot of things going on in life today, man. Like I'm a father. You know, I'm a son. I try to be an active member of NA, and I also do charitable work outside the organization because, like, I got to have a well-rounded life. And, I constantly try to listen to everybody, whether I like you or not, you know. Because most of the time, what I need to hear is from somebody that I don't like. But I try to take all the suggestions that I can get. I try to listen to the newcomers coming in because I feel this disease is constantly evolving, so my recovery has to constantly evolve with it. Because what keeps me clean today isn't going to keep me clean tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like addiction gets new tricks every day, tricks that I don't know about, and maybe I can learn them off somebody else instead of firsthand today. And you know, like, but like I said, the most important thing I think I did coming in here is I got some numbers that first meeting. And I'm sorry for jumping around, but I got some numbers the first meeting. And the next day, I applied those numbers. Everybody always says about all numbers and numbers, and I always see people giving everybody numbers, but they don't dial themselves. Like if you don't apply it and call it, they don't do shit. You can have 100 numbers in your phone of guys that all have a year or more, or 10 years, or 30 years, but if you don't call them when you want to use, or when you're hurting bad inside, or feeling too good, it's not gonna matter, you know? So, I mean, I was lucky enough that as soon as I applied that, man, the day I went to work, I wanted to get high, because there's people that get high where I work, and I wanted to get high real bad, and I called somebody, and it worked, man. Like, I talked to them, and I wasn't even thinking about getting high after I talked to them. And it made it a lot easier to call them the second day. And, they said, you know, when I got to meetings, they said, stay away from newcomers. You know, they said, if you got 30 days clean, don't be hanging out with somebody with 30 days clean. Like, so I did. Like I said, I hooked myself with somebody that had, like, 5 years clean. Like I said, I was at his house. I got off work, I went to this guy's house. We went to meetings. You know, I lived off of his recovery until I was able to do something with my life. Another thing I try to do is, you know, I got involved with my home group, and you know, I try to carry the message today, and I tried to carry the message when I first got into meetings, but I think all I did was swear a lot and you know, tell a bunch of people how I use drugs. But maybe that reminded them why they shouldn't go out. But I don't know. Life's been good, and like I said, I got it all through step work and applying the stuff. Like I'm not perfect today, but I'm a hell of a lot better than I was, you know, over 2 years ago. Like when I came into these rooms, I was 160 pounds of track marks. I looked like a rat on decon, and I couldn't hold a conversation with anybody for more than like 30 seconds. And like today, like I don't know, like I'm able to be a bigger person today. I'm able to take suggestions, because like I thought I knew everything out there, and like today, like I'm not above taking a suggestion off anybody, whether you got one day clean or 20 years clean. Like there's people in my life that I'll take suggestions off of, and that was a big thing, was getting over my ego that I had all the right answers and that I knew how to live life. Like, you know, like everybody says, my best thinking got me in some of the worst places that I've ever been. Like the readings say, you know, I've been to jails, institutions, and death all over Pennsylvania. You know, drugs never took me to Disney World. But so, like, I try to apply these spiritual principles, and I do fall short. But like I don't know, like I don't have to, like we were on our way in here today, and like some guy was blowing this morning, and I didn't have to give him one finger. I gave him all five, you know what I mean? Like that's changed my life. Before I would have followed him down the road, you know what I mean? And sometimes, like I said, I fall short, but you know, like the best thing that this program's given me is, like, I can remember when I was using, man, and I hurt everybody I come into contact with, and I mean everybody, my family, people I don't even know, my children, my parents. And I didn't feel anything. Like, I don't know, like I'd step on people, steal off them, hurt them physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever, and it never bothered me. Like today, like the best feeling I have is that sick feeling in my stomach, which like I believe is like God's will, when I know I'm doing something wrong. You know what I mean? Like when I know I'm not doing the right thing, I have that feeling today. And I didn't have that for a long time out there. And I did some pretty bad shit, and somewhere along the way, like all that bad, evil shit that I had, like I've seen that as assets, and I've seen like all the values that were installed in me as a child as character defects, like stealing and manipulating and lying. Like I thought that was an asset, and like feelings like love and compassion and stuff like that. I've seen that as a character defect, because that doesn't work on a street level. You know what I mean? And I don't know. Through staying clean a while and working steps, I'm able to turn some of this back around. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not out to hurt anybody today. I'm not out to, like, get one over on you. I try to help people, whether they're in these rooms, outside these rooms. I try to do the next right thing to the best of my ability. And when I don't, at least I can know it today. Like, before, like I said, I hurt people and I didn't even know I was hurting them. know, and that was terrible. But like I said, today I'm able to, you know, like if I hurt somebody, I can tell right away. If I do the wrong thing, I can usually feel it in my stomach and I can apologize. But like I said, I still do the wrong thing a lot of times. And, you know, this program's also given me the ability to, like, not react automatically. Like, I don't know, like, reacting without thinking got me in a lot of trouble. And, like, today I can usually think about, like, what I'm going to do and what the consequences are going to be, you know, before I do something. Because, like, I don't want to hurt nobody today. I don't want to have to make an amends to them. Like, I want to be somebody that's remembered by, like, you know, what I've done, not what I have. I always think about, like, I've been to some funerals and stuff, and I never hear anybody say, well, he had a nice truck. Or, you know what I mean? Or he had a really beautiful house. You know what I mean? Like, I have something today that I can give away, but nobody's going to take. You know what I mean? I have self-respect. You know what I mean? I have respect for Ian. You know what I mean? Like, character is all I have. You know what I mean? I've lost everything using and not using. Anything material is never yours, you know. But like I said, you know, I'm compassionate today. You know what I mean? I help other people. Like when people think of me today, they're not thinking about, yeah, that's the guy that robbed me last year. You know what I mean? They're like, hey man, he helped me move, or you know, he came and helped me do this. Like I try to help people, not for any reason, but like people help me. People help me the whole time through this program. When I've been in tight situations, like getting out of a relationship, I had to move right away, you know. I had to call one person. I would have had to, like, ask everybody I know to come help me move before. And they'd have been like, well, you getting a case of beer or you got some of this or something like that? This guy said, I'll be over at 10. You know what I mean? He didn't ask for nothing. And, you know, and I was able to repay that. You know, when they need help, I can come over and say, hey, I can help you do that. I did it before. You know what I mean? Well, I made them feed me because I work for food. But, but like I said, I try to apply these spiritual principles to the best of my ability, and my life's improved greatly. Like, I don't know, man. I've come a long way in every area of my life, especially through, like people. Like, there was a lot of people I did not like for no reason at all. You know what I mean? Like, black people, gay people, different. You know, we're all people, man. I've been able to get through that. You know what I mean? Some of my best friends are black. Some of my best friends are gay. You know what I mean? Those people's help keep me clean, man. They do anything for me. I lost some good friends, man, that showed me some things about life. That like some of the best people I've met in these rooms were people that I had the biggest resentments for in life, that they never did anything to me before in my life. You know what I mean? But I don't know why, but like whether it was I mean, it wasn't really installed in me as a child or anything like that, but just, I guess, through maybe, I don't know, just from life, you know, people I hung out with or whatever. But, like, I don't know. Like I said, I didn't like a lot of people for no reason at all, people that I never even met. I don't have time for that today, man. I don't have time for that today. I got life to enjoy, man. I got people to love and stuff like that. That shit keeps you sick. I try not to judge anybody today. Like, I still get judged, you know, and I feel bad for people that do that, you know what I mean? Like, some of the best people that I've met are people that, like, before I wouldn't have talked to, but, like, I don't know, I'm able to see clearly today. Like, I try to talk to, like, everybody. I'm that guy that I, like, if I'm sitting in the waiting room at the doctor's office, I'll know everybody's life story before I get out there. I'm like very personable. Like I have the gift of gab. Like I like to talk. I like to hear about people. I like to share my own experience. A lot of times I end up carrying the message that way, and it feels pretty good. Like I don't know, because this is a big part of my life is Narcotics Anonymous. So a lot of times, like if I'm in a doctor's office or something, because I mean, addiction is everywhere, man. I mean everywhere. And I guess you don't realize it. Like, I didn't realize how much it was around until I got clean and started being about something. But, like, I can remember, like, when everybody that I worked with and in my town, like, if I was walking down the sidewalk, they would cross the street and walk on the other side. And I have people that come up to me and ask me how I'm doing. They ask me, like, oh, my son or my nephew's doing this. What can I do? You know, like, I used to, like probably everybody that I worked with used to probably think I was the biggest piece of shit in the world. And I was able to help a kid that I work with, his son, comes to the rooms now, and that message was carried through me. He's like, man, I see that you're living like this, and I knew how I was living, you know what I mean? And I've been taking this kid to some meetings and stuff like that, you know? So, you know, that's how I make my amends, man. I try to help people. I try to carry myself in a good way out there in public, you know? Like, that's, you know, when people see me today, like, I'm not full of track marks. I'm not 110 pounds, and I'm not all gray and shit like that. So, I mean, there's still people today that they probably think I'm high. And that's all right. It ain't my business what they think. You know what I mean? It's none of my business. Like, I know what I'm about today. God knows what I'm about today. And some people that I love, they know what I'm about today. And I don't know, like, they're entitled to that. I can't expect people to think that, like, I'm this great person or even a human being now. After, you know, 20 years of torment and raising hell and hurting people, I can't expect everybody to get on board with where I want them to be. You know what I mean? They're entitled to that. You know what I mean? I earned that shit. All that stuff that I did, you know what I mean? Like, maybe I have to stay, you know, focused and stay, go to the direction I am for twice as long as, you know, I destroy shit for people to understand that or whatever. But like I said, I know what I'm about today, and, you know, I live day by day today. So, you know, they're entitled to be that. Like I said, I don't get resentful of those people. It doesn't bother me when somebody thinks that I'm still getting higher, or they still think I'm an asshole or whatever it is, you know, because I know I tried to put the best effort into my day possible today. Like, I try to do, you know, I reflect back on my day, like, every night when I go to sleep, you know, when I'm praying, and, you know, for the most part, like, my day was pretty good. I didn't hurt anybody. There are some times that, you know, like, when I think back that I could have done some things a little bit differently, or maybe the next day I have to ask somebody, hey, sorry you felt that way, but, like, I need to do that. Like, I need to be, like, I need to be accountable for other people's feelings and stuff like that, and accountable to this, like, I don't know, like, for me, when I do that first bad thing, and I get away with it, it's real easy to do the second one. And just like with the first lie, you know, like, once I say that first lie, you know, it just opens the door for another lie, and another lie, like, and it's a nice feeling not having a lie today, but, like, I don't know, the worst, every time I do something wrong, it's like, you know, even if I'm just, if it's something easy, like, after a meeting, maybe I'm talking shit on somebody or something like that, and it's real easy to talk about somebody the next meeting, and I don't want to be that person sitting outside the meeting that's talking about everybody else. I want to be able to try to help them, but like I said, I fall short in that. But I know I can get caught up in that. It's real easy to get caught up in that stuff, especially, you know, at meetings, and we have this many different people coming together, and you know, all different walks of life, and we judge people, man. And I don't know. I try to help people. I try not to get caught up in that, but, you know, it's real easily done. But like I said, man, that first lie or something, like, if I just let, I gotta eat a lot of crap sometimes. Like, I mean, I got an ex-girlfriend and stuff like that that, you know, I have a son with, and I gotta be the bigger person a lot, because the first time I do that bad thing, man, I know I'm letting all them demons out of the cage, not just one. And I can get pretty unspiritual and pretty evil pretty fast. So, you know, I try to do the next right thing on a daily basis. And I try not to get blind at shit, because, like, all that shit's like friends of the enemy to me. Like, the lies, you know what I mean? If I'm hurting somebody directly, like, that's like friends of the enemy. Like, it's getting me one day closer to relapse, you know, every bad decision we, you know, that we make. So I try to stay focused. I try to make amends, and, you know, by staying clean and being about something today. I don't know, if I could emphasize anything I want to emphasize, like, you know, getting numbers and calling them if you're new, you know, try to hang out with some people with some time, and be open-minded and willing, like, take suggestions. I've never got a suggestion from anybody in here that was something that hurt me, you know, and I've tried, like, I've went down through my phone and been like, hey, this guy did this and I want to beat his ass, what do you think? And they're like, nah, not a good idea, try another one. I'm like, hey, how about it? No. And I mean, I've went through a lot of numbers to try to get somebody to co-sign my bullshit so I could do something bad like that. And I mean, my experience has been that nobody gave me that. Nobody said, yeah, go over there and kick his ass. They all said, hey, you need to pray for him. You need to pray for him. Or, you need to go to a meeting. You need to talk to your sponsor. Everybody gave me good advice, you know what I mean? Nobody's ever told me to do anything in here that's hurt me. So I don't know why, like, and still yet today, sometimes it takes a little bit more pain for me to take that suggestion, you know? Somebody will be like, well, you need to get out of that relationship if it's causing you that much stress. And I'm like, no, I can change it. I can change it, you know what I mean? And then when the pain gets great enough, I'm like, you're right, I need to get my ass out of that relationship. But like I said, all the suggestions I've had so far that I've taken have worked to better my life, you know what I mean, or cause less stress or whatever. And every step that I've wrote on and worked with my sponsor has improved my life. And for some reason, it's still hard to pick up that pen and do the next one, you know. So if I can emphasize anything, man, it's calling people, you know, doing the next right thing, working steps with a sponsor, and try to be about something. That's all I got. Thank you.